now, the only comic book podcast that is always hot to go. I'm one of your hosts, Chance.
It's a comics and nerd culture podcast, and I'm your other host, Cameron.
Hello, Cam.
Hello, Chance. Good to see your face.
Good to see yours as well.
I would say it's been too long, but I have seen you in person since we last recorded, which we'll get to later.
Yeah. Assuming the internet cooperates. Exactly. I guess since last 2 weeks ago we started off with a food review, it is only natural that I bring a drink review. This was the most exciting find I've had in some time. And I'll just show it to you right here.
Liquid Death Cereal Criminal. But cereal, like breakfast cereal. Is it sort of like a fruity cereal? I can't.
Oh, it's Fruity Pebbles themed.
Oh, Fruity Pebbles branded.
Yeah, and it tastes almost exactly like drinking the milk after a bowl of Fruity Pebbles, but carbonated.
Ooh, that's a good drink.
And it's water.
Water. How many calories are in that thing?
15.
Can't beat that.
Which is actually more than normal. They normally only have 4 in a can. I didn't realize that was higher.
I mean, considerably 15. Higher.
Yeah. But I mean, it
mathematically,
tastes...
15 to 4 is a lot more percentage-wise. But in terms of actual calories, it's like nothing.
Yeah. It tastes just like drinking the milk after a bowl of Fruity Pebbles. It's kind of amazing.
Spectacular.
You can see right to the bottom of it. So it's water.
Wow. Amazing.
So yeah. So I give it a 5 out of 5. It's great. Got it at Walmart for $6 for a case of 8. Can't beat it.
Hey, that's not bad. That's not bad.
I've really grown quite the fan of Liquid Death. I have about 3 cases in my fridge at any given time.
Nice. Well, on the theme of last time when we were talking about Oreos, in the past 2 weeks, I got some blueberry pie Oreos.
As did I.
Really good.
Yeah, they're great.
The blue is a bit unsettling. Just the blue color of the cream.
It was.
It's like, I don't know if I need it to be this blue. Mm-hmm. It's not quite like when my kids eat like birthday cake ice cream and their poop is a funny color. It wasn't quite like that extreme, but it was just like things shouldn't probably be that color blue.
Yeah, I completely agree. The new Summer Mountain Dew turned my poop very green, and I was very concerned for a bit. I actually asked ChatGPT if it could happen, and ChatGPT was like, yes, this has actually been a reported phenomenon.
Mm. One time in college, my mom made a lot of red velvet cake for something. Like she was like making something for an event and had a lot of scraps of red velvet cake, which if you don't know, I think red velvet cake is like chocolate cake that you dye to the point where it's red, which takes a lot of dye. Yeah.
That's all they ate.
I ate a lot and then my poop was red and I got very scared.
I think I remember this actually.
I was like, am I bleeding? Is this my life's blood? and it wasn't, it was just red velvet cake.
I had the blueberry Oreos as well. Even my wife, who does not normally like artificially flavored blueberry things, really enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm. Mine didn't as much, which, you know, it's understandable.
It's not. She's wrong.
I'm not like a everyone needs to like everything that I like kind of person. So
that being said, on accident, I also bought the chocolate covered pretzel Oreos.
I almost bought those because when we came to the lake, we always go on a snack run and I looked at those. I was like, these sound really good. But then I just went with classic mint Oreos, which is my favorite.
Well, if it tells you anything, I ate maybe 4 of the chocolate covered pretzel Oreos. And that very night, my wife polished off the rest of the package.
Wow. I mean, these aren't the big packages. These are like the small.
Yeah, they're smaller, but I mean,
you're talking maybe 20. It's still too many cookies for like an evening.
And I agreed with her that they were probably a little too addictive. They were really good.
Oh, Nikki.
The only reason I didn't is because I had like ice cream or something that day and didn't want that much sugar.
Yeah, that's responsible of you.
She doesn't really do dairy as much as she can. So I ate the banana pudding nothing bundt cake. That's what I had.
Nothing bundt cakes are good.
But yeah, that's the thing. Banana pudding, very much disappointed.
That's a bummer. I should make you my banana pudding sometime.
You should, because banana pudding is great. The Nothing Bundt Cake banana pudding was just a regular vanilla Bundt Cake with their normal frosting, and that like overpowered everything. But then the whole center is filled with banana pudding. But I want the whole thing filled with banana pudding.
Mm-hmm.
So you only tasted the banana pudding when you got to the center, and I was very disappointed.
That is a bit of a letdown. But what, you know, what can you do? Make your own, I guess.
Yeah. I ain't going to do that.
No. Who has the time? Yeah. But Oreos, fun fact, vegan.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so you can enjoy them if you're dairy-free.
In most countries, they are gluten-free. And here they are not gluten-free, even though it doesn't change it to the taste of the cookie at all. It's just because of deals and corporate stuff like that.
Don't you just love it?
Yeah.
It's so that they can then sell gluten-free ones and charge more.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's your little Oreo fun fact.
It's becoming a trend. One more time, if we talk about Oreos on the next episode, it's like cemented in the lore of the show.
Well, I've looked for the S'moreos. I did too,
and I couldn't find them.
Let's rate the things we've spoken of. I give a 10 out of 10 to Fruity Pebbles Liquid Death.
Mm. I think I would give like a 9 out of 10 to Blueberry Oreos.
I think I would do a 9 out of 10 to Chocolate Covered Pretzel Oreos as well.
Okay.
4 out of 10 for Banana Pudding Bundt
Cake. Banana Pudding Nothing Bundt Cake. 11 out of 10 for Mint Oreos.
Yeah, sure. I like Mint Oreos okay.
They're my favorite. They're my S-tier Oreo.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that about you. I think my favorite Oreo is still just a Double Stuffed.
I mean, it is good. Double Stuffed is good.
I even like Mega Stuffed. People who say they don't, I don't know what's wrong with them.
I usually don't go for the Mega Stuffed.
I don't either, because you get a lot less cookies.
That's my thinking, because I'm the one buying them. I'm rarely in a situation where I'm presented, like I need to be presented an opportunity where I could eat one for free. And usually, you know, Oreo opportunities like that don't present themselves every day.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love them. But Double Stuffed is just as good. You get more cookie. I mean, I would be fine with Mega Stuffed, but Double Stuffed is just good enough.
Yeah, you gotta get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the amount of cookies. Tell us your
snack buying habits at home. I said at home, tell us your snack buying habits.
Yeah, we'd love to know.
We would love to know. What snacks are we missing out on? On our road trip, I looked for weird sodas that I hadn't tried. I couldn't find any. Are we in a weird soda dry spell?
I guess so. Maybe you just need to take a trip to Pops.
Maybe I do need to take a trip to Pops. I always like that. I've been craving chicken fried steak.
You got to fix that.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that's not what we're here to talk about. No, it could be.
It has been.
Mm-hmm. Cameron, we haven't really discussed this. How would we like to do this week?
Usually when we miss a week like we have, we do like two best books.
Yes, I only have 6 books.
I have 7.
Okay.
And I had a hard time picking one best out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
For reasons I'll get into. And so I'm happy doing just one best and then book blurbs.
Okay.
Because we have a B segment that we want to talk about.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it that way. Because I have a clear best book. I didn't even separate my books into the weeks because I actually bought them all at the same time.
Me too.
So I would have to like actually search for what book was in which week if I wanted to do two best books.
Yeah, and I don't want to do that. And I was like missing a couple. Like I got there late and Uncanny X-Men 17 was gone, like completely out.
That's the Calico issue. It's probably not, but
I mean, she's in there. It's the start of a new arc. Maybe it's the Calico arc. And then like Absolute Batman, our store didn't receive these. Other than a few variant copies that were all gone by the time I got there an hour after they opened. So what are you going to do? I'll talk about that one in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks. Are you going to pick up the issue you missed?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the plan.
Okay. The plan. Who's
but I'm
first.
You're first. I'm up first. I'm up first. And so the dilemma that I had is I had 7 books over the 2 weeks, and they're all books that I'm pretty sure have been best book before,
mm-hmm.
Which I was pleasant And as I was reading them, I really enjoyed a lot of them. Some of them not quite as much, but it just kind of left me with a quandary. But a couple of them have like consistently been like my best book every week that they've come up. So like books like New Champions or Batman and Robin Year One, I'm like, I'm going to set those aside. And this left me with one. It's an issue number two. That issue one was also my best book. So I'm just going to bring it up again and keep talking about it because I had a lot of fun with it. And that was Space Quest.
Oh, yeah. That was your
best book. A while for the second one to come out. And I just had a really fun time with this book, despite minimal knowledge of both Johnny Quest and Space Ghost.
Yes. We don't need to do a deep dive onto Johnny Quest this time, for we have done that.
No, we're not going to look into the New Adventures of Johnny Quest or whatever it's called. And so this is by Joe Casey, the writer, art, and then Lorenzo Scarmelli is doing colors on this one. So last time when we left off, is it Jace and Jan and their monkey pal Blip switched places with Johnny and Haji and Bandit. And so we have the three of them, the three from Space Ghost's crew that are with Dr. Quest, and then Johnny and his gang are with Space Ghost. And they're like freaked out because he's just this glowing figure that's not speaking a language that, and so they're obviously very afraid. And so we just open somewhere in the universe, run for it, Haji. So they're running away. Space Ghost is chasing after them. He gives them these little badges as he's like speaking this language. And they're like, I don't know what he's saying. It's just gibberish. And they clip the little badges on. Like, he's not trying to kill us. So let's just see what happens. And suddenly they can understand him. They're his little universe, which would just be so wonderful to have in real life. He's just like, so I believe you're trespassing. I don't know what a good Space Ghost sounds like. I'm not sure. I don't have his cadence down. So they're talking, and he's like explaining to them about the universe, how they got there. There are these like plates that, there was one on Earth for some reason, and Jace and Jan were working with another one for some reason, and at the exact same moment, they like swapped places because of these plates.
Okay.
And so they're like, we're going to figure out answers. We'll see what we can do about getting you home. He's like, you found an alien craft on your planet. That's really weird. We're going to have to investigate that. But first, we got to figure out where your home is. And so they're talking, and they're like, alert, there's Zeta waves coming through, the Zeta wave alert. And he's like, that's impossible. That means there's a crisis, a galactic level threat. And then there's just like to the like an issue for the whole galaxy. And then I got really excited because I turned the page and it was like this, but it's just an ad. But it's like pure Space Ghost comic. And I was like, that's cool. But it's just for the, I guess there's, there has been a Space Ghost comic that's been running for about a year. But I guess they're starting renumbering, like making a new series in the second year, which is kind of fun, I guess. That's neither here nor there.
If then we it really is a jumping on point, it's fun. Some people do that just to get you to buy it.
I mean, that seems like what a Dynamite would do based on their like 27 covers per issue. Ridiculousness. But then we cut back to Nevada, where Jace and Jan are talking with Dr. Quest, and they're like, this is our car. Like, this is, I was looking for this car. That's why the plates, because I had the plate and I was honing in on the signal to this plate. And that's why we got teleported here. And he's like, well, could we, Dr. Quest is like, could we just trip the plate again and it would send you back? He's like, no, because they would have to be at the same time. And I was like intentionally looking for this one, so it just like it just wouldn't work. And so they're just chatting, trying to figure out the issue. And they're like, we could rebuild it. They've like scrapped the car because it's at this military base, and you know how the U.S. military is. They're just taking it apart and seeing how they can make it a weapon. And they're just like, we can rebuild the car. You've taken the parts. You should have them still. We can just put them back together. He's just like, Dr. Quest is like, that could probably be easier said than done. And then it's just funny. They're like, what do you mean? You seem both intelligent and rational. Aren't you in charge here? He's like, I appreciate the assumption, but it's not exactly how it always works. It's like, ain't that the truth, Dr.
Not on earth.
Not the way we do things here. Then we have a little scene with Race Bannon where he went, you know, and he met up with the old flame because he went to the future and found out they had some sort of like a child. I can't remember. I never read that book. Maybe a child with this woman or something. Her name is Jade. And she's like, but don't you want to make your journey worthwhile? You're just leaving. I want to make it worth your time. He's like, what did you have in mind? And then it just cuts to like this panel of just pure action. Like they're shooting guns on a Jeep and riding horses through the desert, being chased by a plane. Yeah. You know, just normal just stuff. Chasing after a MacGuffin, looks like a Maltese Falcon-esque sort of treasure that they found. And she's like, are you going to now tell me what you came here for? And he's like, maybe someday, but I need to get back to the quest because who knows what sort of trouble they're getting into without me. Cut back to Nevada, and the military is giving Dr. Quest a real hard time. Like, you should have figured this out. We've given you all the resources. Why can't we turn this into a bomb or something? He's just like, I don't know what the issue is. Like, we don't know what this technology is. It's outside of our pay grade, you know. Science talk. And the general's mad and he leaves.
Not the general from the
different general. Maybe it is, and he goes to Gotham City to
we've got take three of the generals.
Mm-hmm. We got this general here, we got that general there. I did read that issue this week. It was really good. But they're like looking at the government people leave, and Jace and Jan and Dr. Quest are looking at it, and they're like, Johnny must have put this amplifier unit that we had managed to bring back from the future. And he's, you know, he was putting it in, trying to be helpful, ended up getting, you know, lost in space like you do. Then I forgot about these guys. There were these like masked bad guys that were creeping in the first issue. And this is when they decide to bust in, to try to steal all the technology. And then Jason Janet had gone invisible, but then they come and they beat up everybody with their monkey. And it's a great fun little fight. And then we go back to the ghost planet, and Johnny and Haji have space ghost costumes.
Oh my.
So there they are. And Bandit has one too, which is very fun. And I don't know who this character is, but there's some bad guy that's like, this is the warning. I am your conqueror. I'm going to take over everything. And all who oppose me will suffer the gravest punishments. And so his name is Dr. Nightmare. I don't know if that rings a bell for you in your... No. If you're listening and you know who Dr. Nightmare is and want to fill me in, feel free to.
I'm Googling it.
But they got to go to what's called a nightmare planet.
He looks funny. Sorry.
What's he look like on your end? They've made him look a little bit more less like that. I mean, you can still see the
yeah, you can still see the resemblance.
It's still there, but less doofy.
he looks a little more
he's a galactic chance. He's a galactic level threat, and you need to treat him with respect.
Okay, I will do, Dr. Nightmare.
Yeah. But they're in a spaceship traveling to the nightmare planet, and they get there and it's like spooky and whatnot. And they're just like, don't get distracted by the surroundings. They're like, there's a bogey on our tail. Someone's coming in. And then Johnny's just like, hey, guys, look out. And this is where it ends, where there's just a giant flying bull coming right at their ship, which would be a nightmare. So that's accurate. But overall, I just found the issue to be a lot of fun. I'm just continuing with that kind of like pulpy sci-fi action adventure. That just really, it's nostalgic to me. Just from like growing up watching some Johnny Quest, especially, but even just like that Indiana Jones kind of feel, you know, just any kind of adventure story, which is really.
I haven't seen The Mummy.
I know, right?
Crazy. It's like the best modern pulp. I guess it's not modern.
Not anymore. But yeah, so all in all, just a really like fun story that they're telling, of just some characters from my childhood. Which is apparently what Dynamite does. I really should have checked out, because I read the free Comic Book Day issue that they did, but Thundercats and the Powerpuff Girls Which the free comic book day issue that I read was a delight. And I think it would be very fun to read. Apparently issue number 2 comes out soon, which is dynamite. So that could be in like a month or two.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
But I might check it out.
You should, because those are two great people or things.
Teams.
Love it. Yes. I had several, really three best book contenders. Two of them we have talked about before. But they, I thought for sure one of them would be my best book, but then the last book I read kind of zipped forward. And it's fun because we kind of got some crossover in some weird ways. My book also has Ghost in the title. And it also is a sci-fi. So I am learning that I have a type when it comes to comics. I didn't know this about myself. But today, upon reading this book and being utterly delighted by it, it became hard to deny. We're talking about Ghost Pepper number 1 by Image.
Mm-hmm.
A book I picked up on just total whim. Did not really intend to, but I picked it up and I loved it. The book that I really loved kind of coming back into comics, I was reading Ninja Turtles and Radiant Black, and I loved both of those. I loved Radiant Black a little bit more than Ninja Turtles, but I still loved both of them a great deal. But the book that really sticks out to me when we were first starting this was the 6 issues of Ghost Machine's Rook Exodus, which is coming back in October, which I'm super excited about.
I need to give you your issues back, actually. You lent them to me.
It's true. I think your issues of Power Fantasy are in my box, so I'll need to search through it and pull them. but anyway, and I'm just learning, I think, that I'm a sucker for a sci-fi comic adventure. Arcbound is a non-negotiable book for me. Even Bug Wars, while more maybe on the fantasy side, still heavy on the world building, kind of politics, that kind of thing.
I mean, you read Dune?
Yeah, the Dune book, which was pretty good. Liked that one. But yeah, so I'm just learning that I have a type, and I'm a sucker for these, because I read this, and I absolutely adored it. This is Ghost Pepper by Ludo... Sorry about this, everybody. Ludo Lalabi?
Sounds good to me.
Ludo Lalabi? And he is the creator, writer, artist, and letterer. But he does have one more credit for someone named Adriano Lucas, who did the color. So, Adriano Lucas, great job. But this is the... I'm gonna speak in mostly generalities because it is a double issue. It's 56 pages. This is the story about another planet, obviously. Kind of a, I don't even know what you'd call this, maybe apocalypse punk.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of masks for no reason, a lot of like people in rags. But it is, it took me a second to kind of get into it. It starts with this guy in a weird getup. I'll show you his getup.
I love a weird getup. Yeah, that's a weird getup.
Kind of apocalypse punk, right?
Sort of a cloak, but if a cloak was mechanical,
yeah,
almost.
Yeah, helmets.
That's kind a big
of ragged. And he is telling the story about a giant who is just straight up. They never show it well, which I think is intentional, but it's just straight up an Attack on Titan giant.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched that show, but it's just straight up an Attack on Titan giant, and he was destroying the world until a hero showed up with his army, but then left his army and battled the beast and imprisoned it. And he screams out, "Give glory to our protector, he who watches over us, and thank him for the world of peace, the world that is happy, and a world that is forever rid of evil. Give glory to Batar, B-A-T-A-A-R. And then, of course, he immediately turns over his helmet and is like, now we will take offerings for Batar. and people start putting coins in the helmet. But they're not collecting as much as normal this week. Even one of the littler kids only gives one coin. What's that all about? Cut to chef's knife. Cutting up things. Throwing stuff in. And then she has one secret ingredient. Just a dash of the essence of ghost pepper. Perfect. No risk of burning anyone's tongue off. Just a little bit. Which this is just true. Ghost pepper is the best tasting of all the peppers. It is super hot, yes. But the smokiness, the earthiness, it really is just on another level.
I think that's probably what really drew you to the book was the name.
I mean, ghost pepper is probably one of my favorite like flavors in the world. And as Cameron can attest to, I am a bit of a spice fiend.
Yes. Spice snob.
Well,
you're not snobby about it.
I don't know that I'm snobby about it. But ghost pepper, like ghost pepper hot based hot sauces are kind of my go-to. I put them on just about everything. But anyway, and she is making some, she calls them the ultimate delights. She doesn't really ever say what they are, but the whole city, the whole village, is buying them up like crazy. And she kind of reminds me of, I couldn't think of her name. I know there's Spike, but the other main character of Cowboy Bebop is...
What's her name? It's not Jet, because that's the dude I'm looking, because I'm embarrassed that I don't know this.
I should know it too. Morgan Le Fay was coming up in my mind, but I'm like, no, that's King Arthur.
That's not right. Characters. Spike. Why is it not making it easy for me to see? Her name is Fay.
Fay.
So Morgan Le Fay.
Doesn't she have a weird name after that?
It's probably.
It doesn't matter. You keep looking that up. I'll keep talking about this book.
Fay Valentine.
Fay Valentine. Thank you. That's what I was thinking.
What a weird name, am I right?
This girl kind of seems like a Fay Valentine-esque. She's kind of presented as like the sexy, dangerous girl.
Mm-hmm.
But she owns a...
Chance's other type.
Yeah, sure. She owns a apocalypse punk food truck. That seems to serve some kind of like dumpling ball things and ramen, stuff like that. And her secret ingredient,
ghost pepper stuff.
Her secret ingredient in it is just a dash of the essence of ghost pepper. So we just see that when her truck is in town, everyone in the village turns out for it. There's even like a chef across the street who's like real ticked off because every time she comes to town, he loses all his customers. And some kid is like, well, that's because your food sucks. And he's like, my food does not suck. Look, take this soup, for example. It has been sitting out for 4 days, and it is still totally delicious here. And he shoves it in his mouth, and the guy throws up. But while all of this is going on, some kind of weird spider ship is in the area. And the spider ship is scanning, making like scanning noises, but then it sees something. So it drops three like cyborg ninja things. I'll show them to you here.
Oh, those are fun.
Yeah. It drops like these cyborg ninja things and they come up to the food truck and they're saying like, you are not authorized to be here. Please present your papers. And she's like, hey, I did all my paperwork. Like, I'm good for 5 years. I have the thing right here. And then it kind of like zooms out and we figure out they may not be talking to her. There is someone eating ramen at her food truck. And it becomes very clear that they are talking to him. They're basically saying like, he doesn't have papers to be here. Like, because of crowd control, any unregistered people are not allowed in the area and must be detained immediately. So we get the sense that these people are policed fairly heavily just because, mm-hmm. like, this one guy being here is, like...
A big deal. And
a big being deal. Treated so. And then there's this little thing that seems to just be on his belt. It's very small. Like saying like, oh, look, they've seen you. Yep, they're definitely here for you. He's just kind of like quirky. So finally they point their blasters at him. The little thing keeps being like, you shouldn't do that. Things are heating up outside. You shouldn't do it. And then they're about to fire the blasters and he's like, oh, now you did it. And the guy kicks the entire food truck away. The
good food truck?
Yeah, he kicks it all away so they don't blast it.
Oh, that's nice of him.
And he just looks at the guy, keeps on eating, and the little guy is just saying like, I know it's delicious, but you should hurry up and finish or there's going to be a fight. And finally, the little robot can't take it anymore, so he fires a shot. The guy's food crashes to the ground, and it's like a big explosion. Like, it's a big shot. The guy's food crashes to the ground, but he is not in the crater. He is behind the robot, and he speaks for the first time and says, "I wasn't finished," and then proceeds to rip that robot thing in half.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't come between a man and his ramen.
Yeah. So he, right after the shot, somehow he got behind him real quick and ripped the thing in half. Everyone is like, what's going on here? These dudes aren't to be messed with. And now the little thing that was on his belt is now this like weird little robot on his shoulder talking. You can see a better picture of it on the front.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, there he is. And in that picture you showed me first, I was like, is that a Tonberry?
Yes. And he's like, now you've done it. Now you've gotten him upset. And he's like, you want to know my name? They call me Ash. Okay, Ash. Whatever.
It's like, this is the first issue. That doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah. And then we cut to an observatory where like a weird little guy is looking at the moon. And on the moon, we see that giant thing from earlier in the story, and he's talking about how that is the cinder that almost incinerated the world, and that he is now imprisoned on the moon forever, and he's delighted about this, and it looks like it's his job to monitor the cinder at all times. But a little we get the sense that it's kind of the next day, because a little like sparrow robot thingy comes to him and is like, hey, something weird happened. He's like, what weird could possibly happen? And they're like, well, one of our robots just showed up and it looks like he ran away. And he's like, that's not possible. They're robots. They just do what they're told. And he's like, yeah, I know, but this one ran away. And he's like, he doesn't even like know how to process this. He's like, did it record like visual data? And, he's like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, it showed the visual data. And we also lost contact with all other robots that we sent. And then it shows that guy ripping it from the back this time. It shows him ripping the thing. And then he looks at the robot that ran away, and he's like, it can't be. So he obviously knows something's up. So he immediately says, like, you have to monitor the cinder. I have to go to the Capitol. And he's like, what? Why? The balance of the world is being threatened.
Makes sense. So you gotta go to the Capitol.
Yeah, you gotta go to the Capitol. So he runs off, and we cut back to the food truck, which is driving until it hits a block in the road. There's a landslide. A giant rock is blocking her way. She has an appointment in the next town. She doesn't have time to go around. So she decides, maybe, like, I'm not very strong, but maybe I can do enough force to lift it off. So she's trying to lift this giant rock, which is stupid because it's 10 times the size of her truck. But then it lifts up and gets thrown into the ocean by the guy. And he's like, okay, I helped you. Now why was I asleep in the back of your truck? And she's all mad at him. And he's like, no, but you can't be mad at me. Why am I asleep in the back of your truck? And then she says, like, well, your little robot knows the answer. Like, ask him. And it turns out that he didn't just rip one of those robots in half. He destroyed a ton of them and then jumped straight at their like mothership thing, the thing that launched them, and started beating it to a pulp. And he was kind of going crazy, about to finish destroying them and start a war that would engulf the town. So the little robot grows, because apparently it can do that, into this giant like cocoon. And wraps around him and puts him to sleep, because I guess that's something it's supposed to do. And that's why he was sleeping in the back of her truck, because the robot threw him in there to get him away before they came. But they had to make a quick stop because it's the full moon, so they need to pray to the guy from earlier, the Batar guy. And when that happens, a ship comes down to collect an offering. But this guy doesn't know anything about these ships. But he's heard the name Batar, and he's like, what the heck are you saying about Batar? So the ship lands to collect the offering, but he doesn't know that, so he tries to fight it. But she's like, dude, chill. And she just throws like a barrel into the robot, and it's like, ah, good, and it flies away. So these are offering collectors that we're told. And then the last little page is like, the last little page is like the guy from earlier who's going to the capital getting a call being like, hey, weird thing happened. An offering robot went on the defensive, but then immediately deactivated its defenses and went away. Like, I know you wanted any little thing, but that's probably not anything, right? And he's like, no, it's definitely him. And his very existence could destroy the society we've built. So we have no choice. We must destroy him. And that's where the issue ends. But it's just exciting. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's the start of an adventure. It's really pretty. Yeah, I just highly recommend it. It's a really, really great book. Ghost Pepper number one.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check it out too.
Sci-fi adventures. I guess I just can't get enough of them.
Everybody loves them. All right. So that was our best books for the last 2 weeks. So now it's time for book blurbs, where we'll just more quickly go through all the other books we've read over the last 2 weeks. And I have 6 more and you have 5 more. So I'll go and then we'll go back and forth.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
All right. So first up, Batman and Robin Year One, number 9, by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. Just yet again, killing it. Just fun adventure, big twist at the end, as everything's just kind of like falling into place. We've got 3 issues left, I believe. So kind of the chips are falling. This is sort of like the general is the main bad guy, but then you also have Clayface and Two-Face, who are, you know, the faces, the face gang, if you will, kind of squaring off.
His name is actually General Face. No, people don't know that.
Yeah, people don't really. Grimaldi is Italian for face.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell you that, but I know. I get it. But it's still just really good. Remains just one of the best books being published right now.
Perfect. My almost best book was also a Mark Waid book. Superman Action Comics number 1088 by Mark Waid and Skylar Patridge. This is a great book right now. It's only the 2nd issue of this run, and I highly recommend it if you like enjoyed the Superman movie and want to get in. It's a Superman learning to use his powers as a kid. There's lots of awkward teenage angst, but also like shades of the man he will become, kind of stuff, and just really good. Really very, very cool, heartfelt. I love it.
Nice. Speaking of teenage angst, New Champions number 7, sadly our penultimate issue in the series, very sadly. Writer Steve Fox, new, different artist this time. It's usually Ian Fiorelli, but it was Rowery Coleman. Rowery Coleman. It was really good. Again, just a lot of fun. The gang goes to a magic market as they're trying to find Hellrune, because they realize something's up. They meet kind of a teen who is similar to Blade, who we see here on the front. variant cover named Night Drifter, which is really a bummer that this new cool character is introduced again in the penultimate issue. Just a real shame all around. But a great book.
Awesome. My next book, and a serious contender for my best book, the book that I am still reading, even though it was your best book, well, the week that it first started coming out, Supergirl number 3.
You can just keep bringing that up.
It's just a weird thing, man. It's just a weird thing. This is such a fun, it's so fun. We get kind of some more Supergirl lore. For a while, evil Supergirl was going by the name Satan Girl. In this one, Black Kryptonite turns her and Crypto into Satan Girl and Hellhound. But she's saved by Lena Luthor. She solves her problems by making a friend with the phony Supergirl, which is always my favorite solution. But wouldn't you know it, her parents from Kandor are not happy. Next issue, the Supergirl and her former enemy, now new friend, are going to be on trial in Kandor. This is by Sophie Campbell. This is such a great book. It is not like a Power Scaler's dream with like Supergirl punching out planets.
Maybe that was my problem, because I just really, you know me, I just love power scaling.
You do. You do. But what this book does have is Supergirl stopping to help a frustrated girl with her math homework. What it does have is evil Crypto apparently having acid pee and melting a pickup truck.
I mean, I would just assume that that's the case.
What it does have is Lena Luthor turning the giant kryptonite monkey Titano into a little monkey and shooting its beams into a crystal to turn it into a kryptonite beam. And again, the problem is solved by Supergirl hugging her enemy and telling her she understands and finding common ground. It's Silver Age. It's quirky. It's fun. It really is quite great. I loved it. Very, a lot closer to being my best book than a lot of people would probably think.
Oh, I believe you. Next up for me is New Gods number 8 by Ram V and Evan Cagle. Things are starting to come to a head. You know, the New Gods are now on Earth. There's just a really lovely scene where it's like, we're in a new place. We need to celebrate the fact that we're alive. So it's just like having this feast, and like the Justice League and the New Gods are like sitting at this table, and just like all down the table, you're seeing everyone, and they're just like chatting. You catch little snippets of their conversations, and it's just like a really sweet, fun moment. But then, you know, at the same time, those bad guys are up to something. Maxwell Lord is doing his Maxwell Lord stuff.
Lord in a New Gods book?
He seems to have been possessed by Apocalypse in some way.
Dark Side?
Or that's what I meant. Well, I don't know. He just has the Omega on his head.
Oh, okay.
And he's just saying, he's like, you know, I've been thinking a lot about like Dark Side. What if he never died? Because, you know, Dark Side died. Yeah. What if he's watching us, which seems to be the case. He's like, what if he is with his mere presence existing or expressing a gravity so vast that it eats space and swallows light? What if he is, you know, Dark Side is, or we just seem to be something sort of taking him over a little bit. And he's working with the crew from Apocalypse. And they seem to have a mole in the New Gods from the other group. And High Father steps down from being High Father.
Ooh.
He just feels like he's failed. And so we don't know who the new High Father is.
I wonder if it'll be Tachyon.
I don't know. We'll just see. We'll have to see. But it's beautiful. Sometimes I feel like I'm not smart enough to read it.
Yeah.
Just classic Ram V. Like, that's how I felt in the first part. And I'm like, I'm too stupid. But then by the end, I'm like, I understand the themes, and I'm rocking with it. I'm having a good time.
Love it.
There's that.
I love that. I'll just continue the super train. Superman Unlimited number 3 by Dan Slott, and with art by Raphael. Man,
we're not good at names.
Albuquerque is his last name.
Albuquerque. Albuquerque. His name is Albuquerque. Yes.
We had this exact same discussion
last month.
Did we?
Yes.
I look at it. I'm like, it can't be his name. I have to be wrong. This continues our story of a world with more kryptonite. This was probably a lot of people's best book, I would assume. I don't know that, but Superman's really big right now, and this is a really great Superman story. It's continuing this world without kryptonite thing. The thing that made it not my best book, and the thing that I think kind of held it back, was they do this whole switcheroo, right? Right now, kryptonite is everywhere, and that's really scary for everybody. That's really scary for the Kryptonians. And Clark Kent realizes that someone with the last name of the Toy Man, Slott, Winslow Slott, someone with Winslow Slott is presenting a kryptonite invention. And sure enough, a giant toy robot comes bursting out of the floor. So he and Crypto attack it and destroy it. But then it turns out that it is a victim of Winslow Slott who lost his identity, so he took his last name. And he's not. He is a man who was made into a toy, but he is not the Toy Man. And that he only made this giant robot with a kryptonite generator to show the usefulness of the kryptonite generator as a clean power source. And so it's this whole thing, right? And the only reason I say that is because, like, that is almost exactly the plot of the Shazam episode of Justice League Unlimited, where Superman destroys Lex Luthor's City of Tomorrow because there's a lead-lined generator and he doesn't trust Lex, but Lex is really bad the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's that same, like, it's like almost that exact same.
How could you attack me? I'm being so good. I'm doing such good things.
Yeah, it's like, it's your bad judgment, Superman.
It's like, no, I know you're a stinker, Lex.
Yeah, and I think just like that one, Superman will turn out to be right. If I did not see those parallels between that, I would have said this was probably my best book. This is, despite everything I have said in the resolution, this is really a Crypto story about who's going to take him for a walk.
Uh-huh.
But that being said, great book, but it was so derivative of that episode of Justice League Unlimited that I just couldn't. I just couldn't.
It's funny. Well, I will keep the super train rolling now.
You have a Superman book too.
Go with Absolute Superman number 9. What I am really enjoying about this issue and the next issue that I'm going to talk about is we are starting to see at least mentions of the other Absolute books. Like in this one, Superman is having a conversation with Jimmy Olsen, and he's like, plus all that craziness in Area 41, which is Wonder Woman, the government's Project Olympus, which is Absolute Flash, the world's richest psychopath, some guy they called the Joker, which we've only seen like a glimpse of in the first issue of Absolute Batman. He hasn't been an issue after that. But this is just, it's really interesting seeing how everything's playing out. It seems to me that the Omega Men are in some way being not directed directly, but perhaps being influenced by Darkseid. They have an object that they refer to as a father box, and they use it on Superman to try to help him because he's been shot with kryptonite bullets. And he talks about seeing visions of this planet with giant slave pits and fire shooting out. And he's just like, this is dangerous. This is a bad thing. And so I think we're just seeing that sort of overarching story of Darkseid's whole deal starting to come into play in the Absolute Universe.
Okay. Father boxes have been so many different things in DC. That doesn't surprise me.
Well, in this case where, you know, I mean, they have big Omegas on their heads.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not subtle.
No. None of them are like weird Catman aliens.
No, these are all just people that are fighting against the Lazarus Corporation.
I just don't know why you like invoke the name of one of DC's most like forgotten teams and not like have any kind of
connection.
Any kind of connection.
Well, it seems maybe DC forgot them too.
I love the Omega Man. Tom King did great Omega Man run right around the time he was doing the Mr. Miracle.
Do love the Mr. Miracle.
Yeah, and I love that run. So anyway, yeah, okay. We might both have this next one. I'm not sure, but since I have less books from you, I'll go ahead and talk about it.
Are you talking about Green Lantern?
Yeah, Green Lantern Core.
I did not.
You've dropped both Green Lantern books?
I just wasn't feeling them.
I don't understand that, but that's okay. Yeah, this is a great book. This is really a book about everyone kind of doing their own thing and how that's maybe not such a good thing. but it brings in, I've only read like maybe five issues of it, but at the same time, there was the Super Sons, there was the Sinister Sons, which was, Sinestro's son, or at least a guy who thought he was Sinestro's son. I don't know if he ever really was. And, Zod's exiled son, teaming up. And, this book is all about, Sinestro going to his home planet that he tried to rule and finding out that it's like a paradise now. And the whole reason is because the Sinister Sons have been taking care of it and made it a really great place.
That's nice of them.
Yeah, they've done a great job. They like explain how they've like made it so there will be food and water for everyone for 100 years while they develop other types of ways to make food and water. And at the same time, the Lanterns find Mogo. But Mogo won't talk to any of them or won't communicate with any of them. And then Jessica realizes, because Jessica's got an ongoing battle with depression, that Mogo is trying to isolate itself and it's scared. So they are able to connect on an emotional level. And Mogo begins healing itself to bring it back into the fray. So Mogo is a Lantern.
Oh, good.
Yeah, terrific issue. I really love, honestly, where Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps are right now, because they're just space adventures. Like, I know that we're going to get to some big emotional spectrum break, whatever, that I don't care about, but right now it's just like Green Lantern's doing stuff. And that's exciting.
Good. I need to write that down. What issue number was that?
Green Lantern Core number 6.
Core 6. All right. Up next for me is Absolute Flash number 5. I was able to get one. It was one the last variant cover, so I had to pay an extra dollar, and I'm mad about it.
I had to do that for Superman Unchained as well.
Yeah, this continues to be... I mean, it's not Flash like we ever think of him. He's not like running really fast and doing whatever, like fighting the bad guys. The rogues aren't like, you know, just regular criminals. They're government operatives. He found Heatwave, you know, in a sewer underneath Central City. Mm-hmm. But he like establishes an emotional connection with him because they're both affected by whatever the government is kind of doing with this Project Olympus. And so, but it's interesting. It's not what I was expecting it would be.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing started, but I'm still having a good time. Like, he has his buddy Grodd, who's just a little telepathic monkey that hangs out with him, because he's also been negatively impacted by the government. So they're putting together this sort of we've been hurt by those in power, and so we're going to make our own little crew. Perhaps. To go and help other people who've been hurt.
Perhaps the rogues.
Perhaps. The next issue is called, it says, next, Rise of the Rogues is the
there
next.
Go.
But it seems almost like, could the rogues be the Flash and yeah. Grodd?
That's what it sounded like when you were
maybe
saying.
Maybe Heatwave are our rogues, while the others are not.
Are the Flash family. Real quick, the writers of Green Lantern Corps are Morgan Hampton and Jeremy Adams, with art by, honestly, this isn't a thing of me not knowing the name. It's Bad Font.
Oh, okay. Good old Bad Font.
I can't kind of tell.
Oh, that's not their name. Their name isn't Bad Font.
No. But their last name is Nahulpan.
There's an easy way to know.
Yeah. But yeah, I can't make up the
name. M&K Nahulpan.
M&K Nahulpan. Oh, okay. I see that now. With the font that they chose here, it's very difficult for me to tell the difference between A's and N's.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. And the Flash is Jeff Lemire and A.L. Kaplan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You've got
my last book. Book I've been waiting for some time. Maybe a little disappointingly, but it is. I also had to get a variant for this one. Gargoyles Demona.
Is it just a one shot?
No, it's a mini. It's continuing. They've had several mini series. They have about one going at a time now, and I desperately need to catch up. I love Gargoyles. It's not something I get to talk about a lot because Gargoyles is a fairly dead franchise, except for these comics. It is by the creator and writer of the show Gargoyles, Greg Wiseman, with art by Frank Poor. And this is a very rushed book, unfortunately. It follows one of my favorite. It follows one of my favorite storylines from Gargoyles, which was the life of Demona. All of the flashback episodes where we kind of see what happened to Demona are pretty great. But her story is pretty much over by like 1080 or so, which is when she's been alive about 100 years, and she has to kind of hang out until 1995. So this book seeks to kind of fill in those gaps, and it just introduces a lot of characters real fast. But the book isn't really about that, so it kills them just as fast. it like introduces like a bunch of human and a bunch of gargoyle characters, and by the middle of the book, they're all dead, so that the Demona and the remaining humans can fight each other. And it's just kind of disappointing that we don't get that. But such a great story is followed by something so rushed, and I think they had to do it that way, unfortunately. But it is still beautiful, still Gargoyles. I will definitely pick up the next issue, even though I wish that this one had been a bit more, had gotten a little more time to cook, even like five more issues to flesh out who these characters are. I mean, if you've seen those episodes of Gargoyles, you know, like, losing even one more gargoyle is like heartbreaking for Demona. But like these human characters, I don't care about them at all. Don't know why they're in this. And we spend a lot of time with them. So, not the best start, but I'm still hopeful for the series.
Good to know. And my last book, The Power Fantasy number 10, Kieran Gillen and Caspar Wingard. Wingard. I can never say it. I enjoyed it overall. Like the story, I think it's moving in a very interesting direction, which I think is what it's always been doing. A character that has seemed like a threat this whole time, we find out has been dead for the past 10 years, and it's somebody else that's been in their spot, which is like puzzling. Like, what? What do you mean? And so this is like telling the story of that. It's also like really spicy.
Ooh.
In a way that I was just like uncomfortable. So Power Fantasy number 10.
There we go.
Spicy book that I wouldn't just jump into the middle of this without reading all the others, because you would have no idea what's happening. But you know,
maybe you don't need it.
Maybe.
People love that fourth wing.
You probably do need the context, actually.
I don't know. Okay. I think that's all of our books.
We did it.
A big week of books, but that's only because it was 2 weeks worth of books.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this coming week is big for me too. I have like six.
I haven't actually looked, so.
You know how it is, though. But that's it for this part of the show. So we are going to take a break, come right back, and have our B segment, which I think we all know what it's going to be.
I have no idea.
Here we are. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a bird.
It's a plane. It's
Superman.
There was. Wow. That was
amazing. I loved it.
Interpretation. Thank you.
Yeah. We both on Monday were able to get together with a few friends from college and watch James Gunn's 2025 Superman.
Yeah, we did. We had a lovely time.
Yeah. I guess we'll give you a quick review. Cameron?
Yes.
Let's do kind of best book reviews, but for Superman. Oh, you are.
Okay. Superman 2025. Am I here?
Oh, you're here now.
Am I back?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Superman 2025 by James Gunn, directed by James Gunn. I have not watched a DC movie. I watched Man of Steel. I obviously watched the Dark Knight trilogy. I watched Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. And I watched the Suicide Squad, the James Gunn Suicide Squad. And I think that's it. Because I was just largely uninterested. I mean, I feel like I watched a lot of movies anyway. But I've been excited for this one ever since I first saw the trailer for it. And I think it did not even just live up to my expectations. I think it exceeded my expectations. Just overall in terms of what it was trying to do. In the week or so since it's come out, I feel like I've just read a lot of online discourse about it, good and bad. I just feel like there's always going to be people that are annoying about things and that are like, Man of Steel was better or whatever. But anyway, I guess you're allowed to have that opinion. But I think in terms of just an interpretation of the character of Superman, just nailed the essence of who Superman is. We don't need to be like, well, what if we have just a gritty, moody Superman? Like, we don't need that because the world is plenty gritty and moody as it is. We need like a hopeful Superman who gets into an argument with Lois because he's like, people were going to die if I didn't do anything. So I did something. And it's like just as simple as that at the end of the day for him. And just like having a character like that that exists in this moment feels very refreshing and nice. And I just feel like overall, as a movie, like it delivered in terms of like humor, but not at like a, I feel like a Marvel Comics, like winking at the camera kind of humor, where it's just like everything has to be jokes all the time, which can be a little off-putting. I feel like the humor was there just because you need it. Like you need, it's a bright DC comic books movie. You're going to crack a joke every once in a while. And I feel like it just really worked. I felt like the presence of all the other characters, the Justice Gang, Element Man, all of that just felt very like justified. And like it actually belonged. And I really appreciated the fact that it wasn't just another like, oh, Superman comes to Earth as a baby. Here's his story of him becoming Superman. Because it's like, we don't need that. You know, it's like, we don't need to see Uncle Ben die another time. We don't need to see Krypton blow up again. It's a familiar story at this point. And so I like that it just sort of drops us in to what's going on. And there's like a little bit of exposition and then it's just like going. And so I enjoyed it a lot.
What would you rate it out of 10? Or since you're a teacher, what score would you give it?
It's an A.
It's an A. Like a 91 A?
Like a 96, 97.
96, 97. Yeah. All right. Fantastic. I also give it an A. I won't give any, I won't leave you in suspense.
Good, I was in suspense.
it did everything I wanted it to do. I have racked my brain with changes I would make to this movie, because I do like to be critical. And honestly, I can't think of any. I don't think I would make a single change. I adored it. I think people who would think Man of Steel is a better movie, I am not like you. I think they're just wrong. Just from a storytelling perspective, I think Superman is a really great example of moving the plot from point A to point B in a straight line. And like every scene serving the plot, the character development, the themes, in a really fun way. I don't think there's a single thing I would change, honestly. My one complaint of the movie, I guess I'll give it a 99. My one complaint of the movie is I don't know why Hot Girl needs to scream. That's not what a hawk girl does. That's not who she is.
Chance.
Huh?
What? She's a hawk. She's a hawk. Scream? I believe so.
I feel like they let out like one screech. They don't like banshee scream to fly.
No. I'm just giving you a hard time.
People are always trying to make Hawkman and Hawk Girl more than
they need to be.
Yeah. And I feel like if you would just give them an origin so that they're like characters were in public conscious, you wouldn't need to do that. They make just as much or more sense than Batman. So were you gonna say something?
No.
Okay. I don't know that I would change a thing. I think that I made I got off topic because I was making the comparison to Man of Steel earlier. If you watch the movie Man of Steel, scenes do not follow one after the other. Like, there's convolution, there's threads that are just dropped. Legitimately, Superman just abandons his mom to Kryptonians at one point. We never address it. We don't know what happened.
Not Martha.
Yeah.
Martha?
I know why Snyder would do this, but there is no real theme of Superman. It's like, oh, the theme is what you make it. It's like, no, it's not. There is no theme.
The theme is what you make it, because you're making it.
Yeah. So there is no through line of that. I just think in every way, Superman is a better made movie than Man of Steel. Yes?
I was just going to say there's something I appreciated as I thought about it, which is from a visual perspective. Just not watch most of the DC Snyderverse sort of movies, like Justice League, but just seeing like trailers, the colors are very like muted. Like Superman's got his blue and red, but it's not like blue and red. It's like muted blue and red. Or like the Flash, like the colors is all like toned down. But in Superman, James Gunn's Superman, it's like, it's not brightened up. It's just like the colors that it is. Yeah, and it feels right. It feels good. It doesn't have to be dark and edgy, because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I just appreciated that from a visual perspective.
I know people have brought up things like the way Guy Gardner flies is lame. If a guy flies, it's going to look lame. I don't know what to tell you. People are anime characters.
People don't fly. Like,
I don't know what to tell you. And
I don't even remember how he flies.
Oh, there's just the effect. It's very much like a kid on a winch kind of thing. But anyway, I loved it. I can't think, like, you gave it a 95, 96. I can't think of a reason I wouldn't give it 9900. Like, I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. I've seen it twice now. And both times, if anything, the second time seeing it with my expectations right where they should be, the movie just flew by. I felt like I was just experiencing it. So if anything, the second time was a better experience. If you need plot twists, if you need like something to be not as it seems, this isn't your movie. You know everything that's going to happen in this movie. There's like a whole thing at the beginning. I guess like a fourth of the way in, where Superman or Lex Luthor finds the Fortress of Solitude, and everyone's like, "How will you get in there?" And then it like just opens up for him, and it's like, I don't know why the movie had the desire to make that like some kind of
mystery.
We all knew that the guy that was fully masked with Lex Luthor somehow had Superman's DNA. Like, there's just...
What else would it be?
Yeah. So, like, if you need, like, some plot twist or for your heroes to be just as evil as you kind of want to be...
Mm-hmm.
Like, because this is a very fallible Superman. This Superman makes several mistakes. It's not like... You want your heroes to be fallible because you have that in this guy. You want him to be as edgy as you want to be. If that's what you need to enjoy a superhero, if you need some complex plot that's going to give you a big surprise at the end, then maybe you won't enjoy this. But I think if you love superheroes and you like stories about hope and stories about getting up and trying to do the right thing, even if you don't always know what that right thing is, then I think you'll love this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was always the thing with Man of Steel. I remember in one of the trailers where they showed the clip where they're like, "What's the S on your chest?" He's like, "Where I'm from, it means hope." And then they gave us like 2 hours of the most dreary, boring, edgy nothing.
Yeah.
But this really felt hopeful. And like people had put their trust in Superman because he like lived up to their trust and like earned it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I always had the problem. There were two things I really appreciated about this movie. One, the parents are so perfect. They are Kansas farm people. I don't know who these two are, but they should be protected and loved forever. They're not
national treasures.
They're not John. I love Martha and Jonathan in Smallville. Love them. They are models.
They're certainly not them.
They are not. These are, man, this is the first time we have ever seen Jonathan and Martha like they would see them. And the part where he sits down with Clark and is just like, "Went with the so-and-sos the other day to the burrito place. Remember when they had the one out by the blue barn?"
Mm-hmm.
Burritos are still just as good.
Clark.
I loved that. One of the things I was saying that Man of Steel struggles seem to tell like a coherent story. One of the things that I always really struggled with Man of Steel is in the scene where he snaps Zod's neck, right? He like snaps his neck and then he lets out a gut-wrenching cry. And even when I was watching it, I was like, okay, that's interesting. I wonder how they're going to deal with that. Like, cause obviously like that affected him. That was a big deal. And in the very next scene, he's at his dad's grave with his mom. He's like, "I just wish Dad could see me now." I'm like, "Oh, okay. We're not." Like, there's nothing left. Like, we can just move on from killing, like, the last other member of your race. Okay, cool. I always really struggled with that, and I really liked how decisions Clark made at the beginning of this movie kept coming up by the end. And when he was confronting Lex, he was ultimately like, "I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying."
It's like, what do you expect me to do? Like,
yeah,
figuring it out. Figuring it out too.
Yeah, he's just a guy figuring it out. So yeah, I loved it. I never thought I'd be excited for another Superman movie. I was, and my expectations were pretty high, and if anything, my expectations were exceeded.
You love to see it.
Yeah. You really should watch Jason Momoa's first Aquaman. It is kind of delightful. It's not like a great movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's delightful.
I like delightful. I'm excited to be
Hello?
I'm so annoyed. I'm excited that he's going to be Lobo in Supergirl.
Yes, that should be great. I'm actually very excited for that movie now. I feel like they set the tone for what it's going to be like pretty perfectly in this one. So,
And what it's going to be like is not like this one.
Yeah. I'm super excited. It's going to be like a space opera on another planet. I'm pumped.
Yeah, we all know that that's Chance's jam.
Yeah, apparently.
As established today.
At least in comics it is. Well, I really enjoy sci-fi and books too.
Well, who's to say?
Quick other thing to talk about now that we've reviewed Superman, is across the board here, there is a DC event coming up. We have made no secret of our disdain for events. Maybe a little bit more me than you, but still.
They do get a bit tiresome.
Huh?
They get tiresome.
They can, very much so. But I'm actually all in for this one. I don't know that I will actively read it, but I love me a good tournament.
Mm-hmm. Aren't they in a tournament for the chance to fight Darkseid or something?
I guess the whole premise, this as I understand it, I could be wrong, is that Darkseid in this reality killed every other god. Like, killed every other, like, being like him. So the heroes and villains all have to, of both absolute and regular, I guess, all have to fight so until there's only one left as well. Because that's the only way they can, like...
Do the best versus the best.
Yeah. But they said that if Dark Knight's Metal was a Batman event, which I had no interest in Dark Knight's Metal... and if Dark Knight's Metal Returns or something like that, the last one that kind of led to Rebirth, if it was a Wonder Woman event, this one will be a Superman event. So
that's just fun. And isn't Scott Snyder the main writer?
I think so.
I think that he is, which will be fun.
So I don't know that I will actively read it. I'm still pretty anti-event, but I do like a good tournament. So we'll see.
Yep, tournament arcs are fun. So I'll have to see what happens. I don't think there's much more to say about it right now.
No. I think it's pertinent news. I think we have a unique take on it that we've established that we're pretty anti-event. So
yeah. So there you have it. But I think that's the end of this time. I didn't have anything on Blue Sky when I looked. I don't know if we had any emails.
You know, I haven't checked, but I don't remember getting any. I do know that a friend of the show, Terrace, is now listening through all of our episodes. So, Terrace, when we get to this one, hello. No, nothing on Blue Sky.
Friend of the show.
What?
In Gmail. Nothing on. He is a friend of the show, I said.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody listening at home. My internet is terrible right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'll fix it in post. Probably not. I don't know how to perform miracles.
Yeah, if the audio's off on this one, we're sorry. We'll be back to normal next week. Cameron's on another vacation because he's extravagant.
I am extravagant. We took a vacation, came back, and a week later left to go back to the place where we went on vacation. By ourselves. Last time it was with all my wife's family. So this is nice.
Oh, wow. That is nice.
So you know when they say, like, do you need a vacation from your vacation? This is our vacation from our vacation.
We really did. I still have not fully recovered on my sleep. Picking motels on I-35 in Texas is hard. We had two bad experiences. But
yes. So if we have no messages, if you want to reach out to us, you can do so. Leave a message on Blue Sky at comicspalooza.bsky.social. You can reach out to us there, or you can send us an email to hotcomicpulls@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you.
We really would.
But now that that's out of the way, all that boring stuff, it's time to get to probably the most exciting part of our show every week, which is Uncle's One More Thing.
One More Thing.
And so, Chance, you're up first this week. What is your one more thing?
I've got to see the name before I know exactly how to say it. I apologize. So let me find it. Thought I could find it before we started. As I am sure no one is surprised, my one more thing is an anime.
No chance.
I know. But the reason I'm bringing it forward is that I think it's going to be something rather special. And it is only in episode 2. So
that's what you always say.
That it's only in episode 2?
No, that it's always going to be special.
I've never watched an anime from episode 1 before, so how could I know? It is probably the most talked about anime this season, so those that seem to be in the know probably know what I'm going to say. But the anime Gachiakuta, Gachiakuta. It is only on episode 2. I think it's going to be rather special. I love the first two episodes. They're really great. They couldn't be more different from each other between episodes 1 and 2. But I highly recommend, if anyone has 40 minutes to watch 2 episodes of anime, just give it a try. See what you think. You can kind of be the part of the ground floor. From what I understand, we've only kind of barely touched on this. This is a world about like an elite who dump all of their trash onto the poor people. And some of those poor people can take pieces of trash and turn them into like epic weapons.
Gachiakuta translates to legit trash.
Oh, well, then that makes sense. It seems that there's like all the wealthy people live on a flying sphere. And then there's like a poor class on that flying sphere too. And they like the wealthy people, anytime, like the whole show opens up with a girl's stuffed animal ripping. And they're like, we could sew that, but it wouldn't look as good. Let's throw it out and we'll get you another. And they throw it down this pit. And I guess everything thrown down this pit goes, onto the planet, which I would assume is Earth. And so the whole Earth is like covered in trash. And I think it's going to be a great story about rebelling against the elite, which just kind of hits real well right now.
That it does.
It's gorgeous. The animation is absolutely gorgeous. Kind of a the equivalent of what a fuzz guitar is in music, visually.
The visual fuzz guitar. Sorry, my wife has gone down the hall and is currently riling up my children. And I don't know if you can hear that on the microphone because they're being really loud.
What? I thought they went to bed.
It's vacation.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
You know how it goes.
You can do your uncle's one more thing and then we'll just be done.
Okay. Well, mine's kind of a long one because it's more of a concept, more of an activity. It's just reading books.
Okay. Done. See y'all next week.
Bye. Especially over this summer, I've gotten really into visiting my local library and just seeing what there is. I'm just trying some things out. And so that's what I've been doing. Over just the past 2 months, and I've had a really delightful time. And I want to encourage you, dear listener, to visit your local library. They need your support now more than ever.
Probably.
And so, yeah, visit the library, read some books. I want to do a quick rundown of all the books that I've read this summer.
He's bragging.
I am bragging. I think I've read like 10.
He's bragging.
I'm bragging. It's a chance to brag about my books. Let me see. Golly, Wally, they're loud. So the first bit, I did read the last 4 books of The Wheel of Time over the summer and finished all of those, and now they're done and they're gone, and I don't have to read them again. But I finally did it. Read all of those. That's by Robert Jordan, and eventually Brandon Sanderson takes over because Robert Jordan died, which... no disrespect to him, was maybe the best thing that could have happened to the book series because it meant that somebody actually wrote things that happened in the story. Because Robert Jordan loves to write about intrigue, but he's terrible at writing intrigue. And he loves to write about fashion, but he's terrible at writing fashion. And he loves to write about women, but he's terrible about writing women. So, Brandon Sanderson comes in and actually like moves the story along.
I understand why you read these books.
I got really into it. Colorless Tsukuru Tazaki and His Years of Pilgrimage, Haruki Murakami. I've already talked about that one. Really fun and not fun, sad, depressing. Really good, though. One of the series that Chance really turned me on to, that I've surpassed him in every way at reading, is the Arcane Ascension series. Number 6 came out.
Behind.
What? Have you read number 5?
I think that's the half.
When wizards follow fools?
Maybe not. I don't remember.
Has he had to duel with his dad yet?
Yes.
Okay. That's very enjoyable.
At the train station?
No. It's much later.
Oh, the official duel. I think they were building up to that.
Yeah. You got so far to go. But A Brief History of Chronomancy is with that book, Andrew Rowe. It was wonderful. Clive Cussler's Ghost Ship was a great fun time. Just sort of like reading an action movie. Death on Tap by Ellie Alexander is a cozy mystery set in a beer town, which I can't drink beer, and I don't like beer, but I like this book. And then the last two, I read this book called Party of Liars by Kelsey Cox, which is like a whodunit locked room murder mystery, but not, because you don't even know who dies until like the last few pages. It's like, you know, someone dies at the very beginning, and then it's like leading up to that moment. You're like, who is it that's going to die? And you're like, oh, this person is. Oh, but it could be this person. Oh, but it could be this person. And like, as you're reading, you're not just finding out who done it, but who got done. I suppose. It was enjoyable. Very much like rich people being terrible, which is kind of fun to read about, but not experience. And the last one was a book called The Dark Maestro by Brendan Slocum. And it's like a perfect blend of like classical music and musical performance and comic books and like a thriller of like on being on the run from like super powerful criminals, like in actual real world, not like super villains. It's really just a very great little book. Just came out this year. But I would really recommend it. The Dark Maestro. It's got a little superhero flair about the love of comic books, which I think is really fun and tangentially related to this show. But overall, I just think it's good to spend time reading. I spent a lot of time reading over the summer. And I just feel like it does something for you that I think other media doesn't. So I think just whatever it is, just spending some time reading is really good, and you should do it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did it.
And yes, listener, he is saying that he is better than me.
I am saying that. So thank you for removing that subtext and just making it text.
Yeah, you know.
I read 10 books this summer, and I'm better than you.
Not everyone has read 10 books this summer, so they may not know that
no. Your subtext. I'm about to finish book number 11. It's called The Last Murder at the End of the World. It's also really good. Recommend checking that one out. By Stuart Turton. He did 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle, which is another fun read.
Oh, I do. Yeah. That one I know.
Yeah. So same guy. But yeah, I think that's all that we have. We've done it. We did the whole episode. Do you have anything else you need to add?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, then in that case, next week you can find us here again at the same turtle time and the same bat channel.